Blog Talk Radio.
Going to grow some that we're just going to
spelled the powder. The powders retain all the nutrients, and they have a longer shelf life, so they last. That will be something that we can sell. I don't want to go outside of the U.S., but we can sell it, within the continental U.S. I'll be willing to do that. But as far as opening it up globally, we're not gonna do that. So those particular products, once I have them done and get this process down pat, then we will have the microgreen powders. And, a lot of people will go for it because microgreens don't have a real long shelf life. When they're dehydrated, they will last, months. And so that's a big improvement. Let me upload tonight's lesson. And I'm still waiting for a couple of people to come on, if they get the message. To come on. I'm not sending out any text messages anymore. Somebody complained. And so if I send out a text message with like the lesson URL in it, then my provider is blocking all of my texts at that point. So I can't get any type of texts, to go through. So I'm not notifying people that way anymore. Either they find out, from the email, or I'll send them a quick text and, just let them know the lesson has started. But notifying when the class is and that kind of stuff, I'm just not going to do it by text anymore. So people will have to check their emails. Let me upload tonight's lesson real quick. How's everybody doing this evening? Sister Mary, Sister Denise, Brother Gary. Yeah, okay. Your mic must be real low. Or mic must be real low. Anyway, let me upload this lesson, and we'll go ahead and get started. Traveling. She's coming from seeing her sister. They are going to have to amputate her nephew's, both of his legs. I think she said they're going to do that sometime in March. So, until they do it, we still want to continue to pray. Yah is able to say otherwise. And so we want to pray that, a miracle from Yah, that he intervenes and supersedes in that on, the child's behalf. All right. Let me select this file.
Brother Miles, how old is he?
I think he is 11.
Wow.
And, it started with a viral infection. They thought he had a cold, flu, and it just got progressively worse. From that to the point where wherever this virus entered his body, it started shutting down things, his organs and everything. And they caught him. There was another 5-year-old kid that was, he might only be 7. I might be making him too old. He may be only 7. I think he is only 7. So, let's see. Yeah, so, continue to keep him up and lift him up in prayers. Pray for the family. But this has to be rough on everybody. And, we pray that the Most High, that he intervenes. He's still alive, and they didn't expect him to live. So, that is a good thing there, because he, as I said, there was another kid in the hospital with the exact same thing. And so for those of you with children, if your child acts like they have a cold or anything like that, you don't want to treat it like a cold, because this is like the same virus for strep throat, but it's worse. If your child gets it, grandchild or whoever, you know, make sure that they go ahead and just take them to the hospital and let them diagnose it. Don't try to treat it, you know, on your own. Say, well, this is all it is, because this thing is voracious. It just shuts down organs. It, you know, stops the blood flow and all these other things. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do our statement of close down some things here. Okay, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in and go ahead and get into this lesson. All right. You may have the sisters to cover their heads. Brothers, uncover your heads. Let us go before the Most High. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be in the world. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I want to say welcome to Tuesday night newcomers class. We are continuing on lesson number 8, which is and forgiveness, as they are taught in the scriptures, revealed in the scriptures, and we're getting ready to start forgiveness on this evening. And so I hope you have pen and paper with you as we get, you know, delve into the Most High's word. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you. We lift you up on today, Father, and we magnify your name, for truly you are worthy of all glory and all honor and all praise. There is none like you, O Yah Elohim. No, not one, Father. We bow down and we give you glory and honor, and we praise your name on today. Father, we just ask that you would be with us in this lesson. Hallelujah. Let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, oh Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We just thank you on today. We thank you for all your blessings, Father. Father, we ask that you would look in on little Brother Kenan and that you would intervene on his behalf. Father, you are able to work miracles. There are no miracles for you. They are natural for you, Father. And we ask that you would just intervene and reverse whatever's going on in his body. Reverse the gangrene. Reverse the organs that shut down and help them to become whole and healthy again. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Our verse for today. The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 35. The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. On tonight, we are beginning the section on forgiveness of sin. And we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Most High. But what we've also learned over the past is that the Most High, there's two types of sin, not kinds, but types. There is ignorant sin and there is willful sin. And so the world wants to treat, you know, all sin the same. If you sin, it's just, you know, some sins are worse than others. But the Most High really only looks at it two ways. You either know what you're doing or you don't know what you're doing. Okay, so there's times when you can ask for forgiveness, and there's a time when he says it's just not going to be forgiven. When we are blatantly, willfully disobedient, the Most High says there is no blood for that. There is no forgiveness for that. So we take, you know, we can ask for forgiveness, and, you know, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to live every day to the best of my ability and not try to break his laws. And if I do break one, you know, it's going to be out of ignorance. I'm not going to willfully do something that I know is wrong. That's just not going to happen. So, hold on just a second. Go ahead and let's get into this. Now, this is a, you know, you can have your, everybody can have their mics open. This is participatory. It's a classroom environment, so if you have questions, you can ask. If you have a different understanding, you can state it. We can talk about it. But we're really looking at, these are milk questions. These are things that every saint should know, every believer should know in the scriptures. And when we're talking to other people about the scriptures, these are things that we should be telling them about if they are new to the scriptures. Or if they're, you know, if you're having a discussion and they have, you know, they may have a incorrect understanding or not a complete understanding. So this is more so set up like a question and answer. Why is it so very important to forgive? Go to the book of Matthew. Now, it's on your screen now because I uploaded the lesson here. So you can just read it from here. If you're reading from a different Bible like the Sefer, I bought a Sefer about 3 weeks ago. I couldn't find it in any electronic format, though. And I think what I'm going to do is write to the people. Remember the Bible program that I gave you guys? I'm going to see if they will include the Sefer in that one, if they can get it electronically and include that version in it. But the Sefer really just, you know, what I've seen so far, besides, you know, some books that are not in the normal KJV, not just the Apocrypha, but like the Book of Enoch, probably the Book of Jasper, Jasher, those books, they're included. And then they use the, what they're convinced of is the name of the Most High. And I don't have a problem with, you know, the name that they're using. Anyway, Matthew chapter 18, verse 25 through 30, 22 through 35. Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times. So the question was, how often should we forgive our brothers? Okay, and so actually let me open up my Bible here. And we're going to get probably verses 33 and 34. I'm sorry, 20 and 21 as well so that we get the context of this. So just a second. Matthew. And we're going to start, probably start in verse 20. Now let's start in verse 21. We're going to get verse 21 and read from there. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? So he asked the question, do I forgive him seven times? Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So that's like 490 times. And therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. Now this is, you know, we know we're supposed to forgive our brethren. And he says seven times, 70 times. Now, one of the things about forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to forget. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to continue to deal with that person. And forgiveness doesn't mean that they don't have to say, a lot of us, we think that even when we're going to look at this tonight, that when the Most High forgives, that or we confess our sins and we're forgiven, that we don't have to pay the consequence. And I probably should have started one question earlier. Maybe I'll come back to that. I'll come back to it maybe at the end of this tonight or whatever to show you that whenever somebody confessed their sins, even with David, the Most High says, "I'm not, you know, your sins are forgiven," but somebody had to pay the price. And so we want to make sure that we understand that even if you forgive, it doesn't mean that you have to continue. Somebody does something to you that's heinous, that is hurtful, that's harmful, and you forgive them. It doesn't mean that you got to stay with them. You forgive them. But you know what? The cost of what you did, the wages of what you did is this relationship is over. This this relationship that you and I have, I will love you from a distance because I don't know what else you might do. But I'm not going to hold that against you. I just don't choose to continue to be in the same type of relationship with you. Okay, so we got to understand that. There's the wages of sin, the wages of threat, and that's the ultimate penalty for sin. And with the Most High, most penalties for sin come, you know, the penalty is death. The wages of it is death. There's very few sins that you can do where the penalty is not death. And that, you know, that's what people, I don't think, keep in front of them. But now we're looking at Messiah saying, you know, forgive your brother. It's different sinning against the Most High and sinning against your brother. So Peter's asking him, hey, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? Seven times? Messiah said, no, seven times, 70 times. You forgive them. If you continue to have a relationship with them and they do something to offend you, you forgive them. But you can always say, you know what, I've had enough of this, and, you know, I love you, but I choose to love you from a distance and not stay in this. Because it's not good for me. Okay? All right, so let's look and see what Messiah is saying. Yeshua said unto him, verse 22 again, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is kingdom of heaven. Now he's going to give us a parable and an analogy. And he's going to talk to us about how the Father looks at this. Okay. He looks at this from the Father's position. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. So $10,000, we'll just say that, something that we can put, you know, put a number to. But for as much as he had not to pay, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So he's forgiven this debt. He's still a debtor. okay? And a lot of people, you know, I've gone over this before in lessons, but let me do it here as well. The only way not to be a debtor is to pay your debt. Forgive you your debt. You're a forgiven debtor. Your status as debtor doesn't change. This person is just choosing not to enforce it. They can always come back later and say, hey, I want you to pay me my money. You can't rightfully say, you can say, well, you forgave me. Yeah, but you still owe me. You never paid me. They can do that. Okay, and so we're going to see that concept here. That's why I want you to understand that debt is being equated to sin here. Okay? It's being equated to sin. So let's read this. Did you have a question, Sister Denise?
He is now in the conference.
Okay. So, all right. So I'll go ahead and I don't see my mic. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and continue. I was going to turn up my mic. But I'm not, let me go out and come back in. I'm going to go out and come right back in. But I need to turn this up. Okay. All right, there we go. All right, so this should be louder now. And let me mute the 480 number. Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, so let's go back to the scripture. Now, this servant, he owes his master $10,000, okay? And I want you to equate this money to sin, okay? He has sinned much, okay? And so his master is saying, hey, which is the king, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell your wife, your children, everything you have. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to put y'all in prison until y'all pay this off. He falls down and he begs them and says, please, I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, 100 pennies, okay? So we got $10,000 versus a dollar, put a number to it. And he laid hands on her and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and beside him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their master all that was done. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me to. Now, we know that this master is in the place of the Most High. This is the analogy. We got a king, a master of someone, and we got somebody that owes, okay? And so in this parable, the king, the master, is in place of the Most High, and the servant is us, okay? And he told us that we are to forgive our fellow servants their debt against us, okay, their sins against us. He says, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou have also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth, was angry, furious, and he delivered him to the top there. He was forgiven. He wouldn't forgive someone. He was still a debtor. His master brought that debt back on him. Because rightfully, the only way that you can change your status once you have become something is to find a way, in this case, it's debt, is to pay your debt. Now, the problem with this is when it equals to sin, we can't pay for our own sin. Because the Most High requires blood for sin. And our blood, if we try to play with our blood, it's not worth it. It's not worthy. It is tainted. Our blood is tainted with sin. The Most High needs a sacrifice that is untainted. So we couldn't pay for our own sin. So the Most High said, you know what? I'm going to have, first of all, an animal never sinned against me. I was allowing you to use the animal's blood because they were innocent, but it wasn't equal to your blood. So I had to wait until I sent the Messiah into the world. I had to wait until I came into the world as a man, not through sexual intercourse, but through speaking myself into the womb of Mary. There was no man involved. Being born and without sin, because we know that by the scriptures, the very sexual act itself is sin. Okay, so taking that out of the place, Messiah was born sinless. He lived a sinless life, and he was able to pay the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. Most of us says, well, I'm gonna, by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, I'm going to allow it to be taken out or to be paid for. So we come up under the blood of Messiah. That's why we have to recognize him as the sacrificial lamb of the Most High, and that he came and died for our sins. He paid the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. So we were in debt to the Most High. We owed him our lives, and we couldn't pay for our lives, and we had a debt sentence on us. So we were sinners. The only way that we could get out from under that sin, we needed somebody to pay the debt for us. That's what Messiah did. He paid the debt for us, for all of us. Okay, so we got to understand that's what's going on. It changes your status from being a debtor, in this case, to a non-debtor. Okay, but the Most High says, but I'm still, if you don't forgive people their sins, hear what he says. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torment, put his debt back on him, to pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father. Now he's telling you what the Most High will do. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one of his brothers their trespass. If we don't forgive people the debt, the sins, their sins against us, Yah will recall our debt, our sins, and put them back on us. Now, we know what that means. There is no purgatory. Purgatory is a Catholic construct where you go and you pay, you work off your sins. You go to hell or to, you know, wherever they want to call this place, and you stay there for a time until your debt is paid. There's only one place that the Most High ever mentions. You are either in his kingdom or you are in the lake of fire. And he says, when you enter into the lake of fire, that is everlasting. It's forever. So we want to make sure that we forgive people, that we don't hold grudges, that we don't stay angry. As I said, you don't have to continue in you know, dealing with them. I forgive you. Now, let me say something here as well. Anybody ever had somebody make so mad, hurt them so bad that it make you sick? Literally? Sick to your stomach? Sick in your mind? Sick in your heart? As long as you hold on to that, as long as you hold on to the hurt, as long as you hold on to the pain, as long as you hold on to the transgression, as long as you don't forgive, guess who's the one hurting? Because most of the time when somebody hurts you or they transgress against you, I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time, you know, they're like, so what? They're not hurting behind it. You're the one that's hurt. You're the one with the hurt feelings, the hurt pocket, the hurt whatever. And they have gone on about their business. But when you forgive them, this is the beauty of forgiveness. When you forgive them, you take that power away from them. You take the power away from that situation because it no longer has power over you. I'm not going to let you hurt me that way. I'm not going to let this affect me that way. I forgive you, and I'm going to let it go. That's what forgiveness is all about. A lot of people stay caught up in some things out of guilt or out of, you know, they don't want to let it go. They don't forgive. You know, I'm never going to forgive you. And so they stay angry. They stay upset. And the one affected by it is you, whoever you are in this situation. So it's imperative that you forgive because a lot of illnesses come on people with unforgiveness. If you're angry all the time, if you are hurting all the time, it will affect you mentally. It will affect you physically. And so forgiveness is not really for the other person. It's really for you, the one who's been offended. Forgive them and let it go. As I said, you don't have to stay dealing with it. Well, I thought you forgave me. I did. But, you know, the consequences of your actions, I don't want to deal with you. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold this against you. But, you know, I'm not going to deal with you either. I see you. I'll speak. And, you know, we'll go our separate ways. We'll do whatever. Okay, but this right here, this situation is, it's, what do they call that? I'm looking for a certain word. Not contagious, it's good grief. It's on the tip of my tongue. It's where you are, you know, no matter what happens, we just have ill feelings, and I don't want to be that way. I don't want to feel that way. They'll come to me in a minute, the words that I'm looking for. So you have to forgive. And the most I say is if you don't forgive somebody their trespass, then what he's going to do is put yours back on you. Everything you thought that you were forgiven for, he says, I'll put it back on you. Okay. Go to Mark chapter 11. Any questions on Luke? I mean Matthew chapter 18.
Okay.
Okay. So just remember that you can be a forgiven sinner, but if you don't forgive other people their trespasses against you, then the Most High says he's going to put yours back on you. And there's only one end to that. That's the lake. You know, it's not worth going to the lake for nobody. For eternity. It's just much easier just to forgive. And then, you know, if you want the relationship, then you say, hey, you know, we can try to work this out. You know, we can try to correct the situation. But then sometimes it just gets to the point where, you know, they might not be of the same mind as you. They might look at you forgiving them as being weak. So then you really have no choice but to say, okay, I see how you're looking at the situation, and you keep coming back and thinking that, you know, you can prey on me. When I, you know, out of my love and kindness and my responsibility and, you know, my belief in what the Most High says, I forgive you, but you keep being predatory. And you just keep wanting to hurt me. So I forgive you, but now I don't want no relationship with you. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, because a lot of times people think they forgive, they got to, keep dealing with the person?
Yeah.
Got to stay in it. I thought you forgave me. I did. I'm not holding nothing against you. But I'm not dealing with you no more. Okay. Mark chapter 11, verse 26. Mark chapter 11, verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass. So using this money as an analogy of our sin, and when he forgives us, then we are to turn around and show light kindness to our fellow man, our brothers and our. We don't. If we hold a grudge, if we say, you know, I'll never forgive you, then you just place yourself, not according to Brother Miles, according to the word of the Most High, you just place yourself in the lake. Because that's the only penalty for sin. That's the only reward, is the lake. So, you know, that's where the Catholics came up and said, you know, that's not fair. All sin is not equal. How are you going to tell the Most High what's equal and what's not? So that's what they did when they start making this stuff up. Okay. So he won't forgive you your trespasses if you don't forgive your fellow man. You can't, you know, they got some people that are mad at the Most High. And so they have a right to be mad with him, at him. And I've met people like that. Okay. God, why didn't you stop this? Why did you let this happen? Okay. The Most High doesn't intervene in every situation. And who's the lords of this world? Man is. We are. Somebody else, you know, mistreats us and what have you, or does something wrong, we are responsible. Man is responsible to each other. And the Most High says, hey, that's your domain. When I come and set up my kingdom, when I set up my throne and I sit on my throne, then all this other stuff that y'all doing is going to be over. It's going to be my way or the lake. Not the highway. Not unless it's the highway to the lake. Okay. So, verse 26 again. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespass. Forgive your trespass. We need our trespass, what, forgiven? We don't want to, you know, be on his bad side. We don't want to get there and say, oh, you were found wanting. You were found, what, in debt? And you can't pay your debt. So go get in the lake. Okay. That's why it's important also not to abuse what Messiah did for us. Because it's not something we could do for ourselves. Now, I want to throw something in front of you. I want you to think about this. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Adam and Eve. Let's go back to when Eve, the serpent, seduced Eve, beguiled her, and she ate from the tree. She was in a fallen state. Adam was not in a fallen state yet. He hadn't eaten from the tree yet. He could have paid the price for Eve because at that point, could Adam die?
No.
No, he hadn't sinned. So he couldn't die. He could have paid the price for Eve. But he jumped into bed with her, literally. He jumped into the same situation with her. The scripture says he chose. He knew what he was doing. He was seduced. He was beguiled. But he chose to do it. So he could have paid the price. But once he sinned, then now they both are in need of what? A sacrifice? And they couldn't pay for their own. And the Most High says, you know, now, this is the situation. It ain't time for Messiah to come into the world, and I'm going to let the world be populated. And you know what? There's something wrong with this seed because y'all thoughts are what? Continually evil? Y'all just don't choose to do good. And y'all all are going to require Messiah. You're going to need Messiah. So when that time came, the Messiah was born. Go to question number two. Any questions on question number one?
No.
Okay. Question number two. Can we easily just forget an offense against us? No, forgiveness does not necessarily mean forgetting. So it is, you know, somebody hurts you, really hurts you, you're not going to forget it. How you react to it and how you let it affect you, that's a whole nother thing. You forgive them, and trust me, the forgiveness is for you so that you don't give that spirit, whether it's anger, whether it's revenge, whether it is whatever that spirit is, it's a foul spirit. You don't give it power over you. That's what forgiveness does for you. I'm forgiving you, and I'm letting it go. It might not do nothing for the other person. They might not even care. But you're not going to let it affect you any longer. Okay? Since we cannot forget so easily, we must take certain steps to an attitude of continual forgiveness. These steps are as follows. A, do not allow yourself to think about the offense. Because if you dwell on it, what's going to happen?
You're going to think about it.
You're going to stew in it. You're going to become what? More mad?
More mad.
More hurt? More angry? More vengeance? Vengeance. You're going to, it's not going to be good if you stew on it. So you don't think about it, you know, you don't stew on it. You give it to the Most High. Because the Most High says he's the one that what? Vengeance is his? Okay. Submit to Yah. Resist the devil. Go to James chapter 4, verse 7. Think on good things. Change your frame of mind. I forgive you, and I'm not even thinking about what you did, and I'm not going to dwell on it. Okay. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to Elohim. Resist the devil, and he will do what?
Flee.
He didn't say you got to fight him. He just said you got to resist him. Don't give in to that, what, temptation?
Right.
Is it a sin to be angry?
No.
Nope. It ain't a sin to get angry. Okay. The sin is when we, what, act out of that anger? And we do something that we're not supposed to do. We say something we're not supposed to say. We react in a way. Hold on a minute. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's not in this right here, but we're going to go there anyway. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll go back to Philippians 4 and verse 26. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and sin not. So it's not a sin to get angry. It's a sin what you do in your anger. You cut somebody out. You threw a punch at them. You did something to hurt them in some kind of way. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, upon your anger. So, you know, me and my wife used to have an agreement. If we get angry at each other during the day and we haven't resolved that thing by the evening, you let it go. Let it go until tomorrow sunrise. Don't let the sun go down upon your what? Wrath. Let it go. Because then you have a cooling off period. And you're usually going to be thinking about it, even if you're not saying anything about it. And then you can usually talk it out. Well, you know, when you said so-and-so, it really hurt me. Yeah, I know. And when you said so-and-so, you know, it made me angry. And so I said so-and-so to you. I'm sorry. you know, it's my fault. You get a cooling off period. Okay, and so it's important that we do that. Don't dwell on it. Let it go, especially if the sun's going down, meaning that day is ending, the start of a new day. Don't take it into what, the new day? Okay. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the positive things. Frame of mind. Okay, again, that doesn't mean that, you know, because you're having changing your frame of mind, doesn't mean that you got to continue to deal with that person. You got to also look out for yourself, but you don't hold it, you know, you don't, I'm not holding this against you. I just don't want this, you know, whatever we had going on, whatever that is, I don't want that anymore with you. I just want to look at you as my brother or my sister, not as my lover, not as, you know, my husband or my wife. Because we are clearly beyond that. Something has happened. Okay. So just know that you're going to think on the good thing. You're going to pick yourself up. You're going to think on the positive thing. And, you know, if that person, you can't make anybody else do anything. You're only responsible for who?
Yourself.
You can't make nobody else do anything. And a lot of people try that. They try to make people act the way that they want them to act. Try to make them be the way that they want them to be. If somebody don't want to treat you right, there's nothing you can do to make them treat you right. They have to want to treat you right. And then they have to put in an effort to do it. And if it's really an effort, if I got to put in an effort to treat you right, what is that really saying? Because really, somebody that you really like, do you really have to put in an effort to treat them right?
Well,
it just comes natural, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just do it. But I got to try to treat you right. There's something wrong there. I got to think about what I'm saying to you. There's something wrong there. And sometimes we get on autopilot. Anybody ever be in a relationship with somebody and they say, y'all just grow to where they say a certain thing to you and it just makes you mad? You're on autopilot? And they know what button to push to make you do that? And a lot of times they're doing it, what, intentionally? So then you can get to where you're in a rut. And so it's like somebody taking one of your feet and nailing it to the ground, and then you try to walk forward. I'm trying to walk forward. I'm trying to get past this, but one of my feet are nailed to the ground. What are you going to do? If one of your feet are nailed to the ground, how are you going to walk? You'll walk in a circle. You go around and around in a circle, the same old circle. And if you keep doing it later, you're going to, what, make a rut? You're going to wear down a path. And the longer you're in it, the harder it is to come out of it. That's as an analogy. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. B, do not allow yourself to talk about it to others. And don't allow them to talk about it with you.
You said Ephesians 4 and 29?
Yeah.
10 or 29?
There ain't no 29 in there?
Oh, I'm still in Philippians.
Listen. I have made mistakes with some verses sometimes, but.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. That's me.
Amen. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Okay, now, we're not supposed to be, coming against one another, especially if we're, trying to do good?
Right.
If we're trying to be right? But everybody ain't trying to do good. And sometimes we're told the scripture tell us when we call evil out. You have to confront it. Okay? So corrupt communications means that you're saying something that you really ought not say. Maybe you're telling a lie, a little white lie. Maybe you're trying to make them look bad. That would be a corrupt communication when it's not necessary. Any questions there on what we've talked about so far? Okay. See, continue to do good towards that person and try not to allow your feelings to get in the way. Your feelings will improve with time and they do not have to prevent your doing good. Feelings do not save you, but obedience to who does? Sight. While Yah still hated our sins, he sent his only son to die for us. Surely Yah did not feel good about our sins, but he loved us enough to suffer, to offer us what? Salvation? Now, did the Most High ever get tired of us? And when he finally got fed up with us, did he continue to deal with us? What did we read the other day? You inquire me as though you have a right to inquire of me. But I will not be what? Inquired of by you? Reading that?
Yes, I wrote it down.
Right. I will not be inquired of by you. Get out of my face. You ain't got no right to be here. I ain't trying to hear you. Okay, so that's why I said you don't have to stay in that situation. The Most High does. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Messiah died for the who? For the ungodly. We were ungodly when we were what? In our sins? Okay, when we were practicing sin, and I can be the first to admit, there was a time I was practicing sin. I didn't know no better. And bragging about it. Because that's the way of the world. I went and talked to old girl. I sweet talked her and I got her to do this. Supposed to be doing that? No. Was it the way of the world? Yes. And it was just a way of life until y'all had to show me better. Verse 8. But Elohim commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua HaMashiach died for us. He didn't wait for us to become good, right? He didn't wait for us to become repentant. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet transgressors, he died for us. He expects us to extend the olive branch to our brother how many times?
Seven times
70. Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 26. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to die for these knuckleheads. I know what they're about to do to me. I know they're about to punch me and spit on me and stick a crown of thorns in my head and beat me over the head with a cane. And then they're going to crucify me and stab me. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If the Most High has you in a situation and you know the Most High has you in that situation, that's what you honestly believe in your heart, then you need to what? Do his will?
Yeah.
You need to do his will. Everything is not going to always be pleasant. Every situation is not going to always be pleasant. But then you got to know that it's his will and not yours. Because if Messiah said, hey, if it's possible, don't let this happen. Now, we might stop there. That's what we desire, right?
Yeah.
And then we do what we want to do. Messiah says, no, but not my will, but your will be done. Yeah. So a lot of times we won't go that extra mile. Like, uh-uh. I ain't going through this for you. I ain't suffering this for you. You don't give a damn about me. Okay, but if we know that it's the will of the Most High, then how many of y'all could have said, you know, went to your husband and said, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and expect that he will believe you? He's going to be like, right, let me go check the mirror. Do I have food stamped on my forehead? You know that's going to be his reaction.
Yeah.
But if the Most High, if it really happened to you, then what do you have to do? You got to stick by your guns, right?
Yeah.
No matter, because what was Joseph going to do to Mary?
He's going to
have her put away quietly.
Yeah, privately, not publicly, but privately. The law said that she's supposed to be stoned. I'm going to do this privately. The law said I should have taken her to her father's house and stoned her in public. I'm going to do this thing privately. That's what he was contemplating. And the angel came to him and said, nah, she's telling you the truth, dude. So take her to be your wife. Now, if you came and told your husband that, and it was truth, then, and you know if he's what, lawful, if he's a just man, you're going to be like, yeah, you've been out messing around. Because, you know, he's not going to be that, really believe it's some supernatural thing. Unless he gets what, the same thing that happened to Joseph? The Most High intervened. So we got to know that if it's the will of the Most High, you know, could you be married? Could you be anybody in the scripture that the Most High, like all the apostles? Did any of the apostles die a natural death? They all died for the word of the Most High and for the testimony of Messiah. Whether they were stabbed or crucified, upside down, boiled, could you be them? Would you be willing to go that far? If it was his will. Think about those things. If the Most High says, you know what, the tribulation is coming, and I need you to be a mouthpiece. And they're going to kill you. Could you do it?
I could, because I fear the Father more than I fear anybody.
Amen. Amen. And a lot of people, I'm sure, feel that way. But when the rubber meets the road, If those roots aren't deep in that parable, they get pulled up because they don't run deep, and they succumb to the world. They'll give in to the world. Okay. All right. So Messiah was like, "Hey, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua HaMashiach, who being in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim, but made himself of no what reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Unto death." I'm an eternal being. But this body can die, and this body can feel pain, and this body is going to go through even the death of the cross, humiliating death. You know, because they hung you up on that cross, they wanted you to suffocate to death. They wanted to see you try to ease up on your feet so you can breathe. You're struggling. And then when your arms come out of the socket from your weight, you can no longer pull up. So you start what, choking? You start gasping because you can't breathe in. It's a horrible way to die. So if you knew that was coming, and you knew you were doing for people who you were dying for, and the very people you dying for, they're the ones that want to see you dead. These knuckleheads, they've been trying to kill me the past 3 years. And if you hadn't hidden me from them, they would have killed me long ago, 3 years ago. But it wasn't time yet. Okay. "Wherefore Elohim also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach," I'm going to say it the way I know this to be said, but I'm going to say Yeshua HaMashiach is master, but that really should be saying Yeshua HaMashiach is Yah, to the glory of Elohim the Father. Okay, it's a play on when they brought that title Lord from the Old Testament. That title Lord was replaced what? His name?
Yeah.
We sure about that? We didn't say it like we were sure.
They put it there in place.
Right. They everywhere. Let me share my screen. And for Sister Clara, on your screen at the top, you'll see Yah's Global Classroom, and then you'll see a monitor there. Okay. When I share my screen, there will be a hand that comes up under that monitor. And if you click that, then it'll bring up where you can drag the screen up and see my screen. Let me know if you're able to successfully do that when I tell you that you can do it. Okay. Got a lot of tabs. Why did this? Oh, let me go to window. I don't want to go to tab. And there's the Bible. Okay. All right, go ahead. You guys should be able to see my screen. Should be my Bible.
Yeah.
And Sister Clara, are you able to pull that up? Okay.
There was Yah Global Clean Glass Classroom.
Yeah, look over to the right side of your screen. or just go up above your names. You see the exit button and the action button and the polls. Are you on a computer or are you on a tablet or something? Get it out. Okay, she came back. Are you on a computer or are you on a tablet? Looks like you're on a computer. Okay, up at the top, you see where it says exit and action? You're on your phone? Okay, don't worry about it then if you're on a phone. Okay. All right, so you guys see my computer, right? Okay, now I forgot what I was going here for. Where were we at? We're in Ephesians. No, we're in Philippians, right? Okay. All right, I forgot what I was going there for. So we'll hold off for a minute, okay? It'll come back to me. So I'm going to stop sharing for the moment, all right?
All right.
And when I think I was going to look up something in the Hebrew and just show it on the screen.
I think you're going to look up Lord.
Yeah.
L-R-D.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So let me start sharing again. And we're going to go back into the Hebrew. And I'm just going to pick a book, Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And let me search. And I could have picked any book, actually, but I'm just picking that one. And we're just going to do a search for, I'm going to do a search for capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D.
Okay, Isaiah.
Okay, let's just look at that in the Hebrew. Does it have a name there? It has the name Yehovah. Now, are you able to see that on my screen? If you look at the bottom right, I mean the bottom left. All right, so you see Lord is really the tetragrammaton of YHWH. The tetragrammaton of his name. Okay, and in this Bible, it's saying that name is pronounced Yehovah. Okay. And it says the Jewish national name for who? Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere where you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, his name was there. Now I want to look up. Now, and even, let's go to Isaiah 40. And we're going to be, I want you to find the scripture, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Actually, let's just go to let's start in verse 1 here. So that we can get an understanding what they did coming from the old to the new. So we're in Isaiah 40 and starting in verse 1. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Comfort ye, my people, saith your Elohim. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received, now we got the Lord's hand, double for all her sins, right? So this should be his name there, right? So if we go back to the Hebrew on this, it's the same name, right? Jehovah?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I brought up here, not necessarily for that verse, verse 3. The voice of him that cries where?
In the wilderness.
Prepare you the way of who?
Oh, Jehovah.
Jehovah, his name, right?
Yeah.
Yah, Jehovah, Yahuwah. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, this is what the voice is supposed to cry. Whose way is he preparing? For Messiah or for, does it say here, does it say the Most High? Jehovah. Prepare you the way of, is it, does it say God?
The Lord of the Lord.
What does it say in the Hebrew?
Jehovah?
Jehovah. Prepare the way, make straight in the desert a highway for who?
Elohim.
Our Elohim.
Elohim.
Okay. Now let's go to John. Because John is this prophet that he's talking about. Remember the voice crying in the wilderness. That's what we're going to look for, okay? Because he said he's supposed to cry, make straight the path of Yah, Jehovah. Okay. And then we'll move on. And we're going to be looking in the book of John for this. John, all right, where's my dividing line at? There it is. Go to John 1:23, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 23. For those of you who are on the phone or using your Bible, go to John, chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one doing what? Now, this is the one that Isaiah prophesied about. Okay, John is fulfilling this prophecy. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the path of who?
Jehovah.
Now, it says the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know that, is this a lowercase, I mean a capital L, lowercase O-R-D? And who do they always associate this spelling with? So look it up, okay? The Lord here in the English or in the Greek, they say the Kyrios, the Christos, Christ, okay? But is that who it said that John would be announcing? John is announcing the Most High. Did it say make straight the path of Jehovah in Isaiah? Did I lose y'all? So let's go back to Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 40. Verse 3, the voice of him crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of who?
Jehovah.
Jehovah, okay? Make straight in the desert a highway for who?
Our Elohim.
Now, in Torah and in the prophets, we only got one Elohim. We don't have the son of Elohim. So let's do this. I'll show you one more place in this same book, the same chapter. I want you to go down to verse John is telling Israel who's here. We're going to look in Isaiah. And we're going to look for this in verse, I know it's in 40. Let's actually go to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 4 first, okay?
35.
Yep. Isaiah 35 and 4. When you have it, say amen. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, who will come? Your Elohim will come with what?
Vengeance.
Even Elohim which repays. He will come in what?
Save you.
Now let's go to Isaiah 40:9. This is John. This is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about John, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So what shall I cry? Isaiah 40:9. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold who?
Elohim.
Your Elohim, your God. That's who's coming, your God. You're going to know him as Messiah. You're going to know him as Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. But who is he that's coming?
Elohim.
Your God, your Elohim. So when we look at that, that's why I took us to the verse earlier. When we look at that word Lord in Isaiah 40, and he says, cry and make straight the path of, he uses his name. He doesn't, Lord is really a what, title? But they took his name and replaced it with a title. So you know what? I want to look at something. Just to see something here. Where'd my keeper Bible go? Here it is. I'm going to look up this verse in the Sefer. I know it doesn't use Jehovah. But hold on a second. Tiny. Did somebody blow up my speaker for me? I wish y'all could too. I'm gonna have to turn on some lights because I can't hardly read this. Not even with my glasses on.
It must be tiny.
It is.
My magnifying glass.
Can you get it here within the next couple of minutes? Yeah, I need some more light. Hold on a minute. I'll be right back. Let me turn this light on.
Oh, man.
better. I've got Parker Fenn here in the middle. 40, and we're in verse what?
Verse 9.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was moving back up to verse 3 or something like that, though. Yeah, prepare ye the way of the Lord in verse 3. Now, they use the name Yahuwah, okay? It's the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahuwah. Yeah, that's Y-A-H-U-A-H.
Oh, okay. Like, almost like,
Almost like Yahweh, UAH. It is Yahweh, UAH. Make straight in the desert a highway for our who? Our Elohim. Okay. Now, this is who John is supposed to be announcing. When you read that he says it in John, go back to John now. The book of John, chapter 1. Thank you. He said unto the, he said, I am the voice. Because they asked John who he is, okay? Go back to 22. They've already asked him, are you the Christ? Are you Elias? They asked him, are you the Messiah? Are you Elias? That. So we understand who Isaiah is talking about, and John is fulfilling this, okay? John chapter 1, starting in verse 19. When you have it, say amen. And this is the record of John, when the Jews set priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not who?
The Christ.
I'm not the Christ. I'm not Messiah. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? That prophet would be what? The Messiah, the one Moses prophesied about? The prophet, that one that will come after him, that would come in his likeness, dealing with the law. Are you that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what Isaiah said that he would say. Make straight the way of. In this case, now they got Lord as the what? Lord, the capital L, lowercase ORD, which they equate to the Christ, okay? But really, this, if you're translating correct way, they should have brought over the name, and he should have said, make straight the way of who? Yahuwah? Jehovah?
Yeah.
Your Elohim. That's who came into the world. Let's go back up to John chapter, let's go back up to verse 10.
John
1
and
10. Let's see if the scriptures remain consistent. He was in the world. Who is he in this verse?
The Father.
We don't know that yet, do we? If we just read that verse like that, he could be what? Anybody?
Right.
So we're going to let the scripture tell us who he is. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Who made the world?
The Father.
The Father did.
The Most High.
The Most High. And he said he did it alone.
And by his.
And by himself. So the one that entered into the world is the Most High himself in the flesh. He says, you're going to know me as the Son. But it's really me, the one who created the world. I came in, and John was supposed to announce his arrival to Israel. Behold your Elohim. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So John is saying, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elias. I'm not that prophet. I am the voice of one crying in the wind. At that point, if they really knew their word, then those Pharisees and the Sadducees should have went back to Isaiah and said, hey, that prophecy's right here. The voice of one, and he's supposed to be announcing the arrival of our Elohim. And to them, how many Elohims did they have? Hear, O Israel.
Yeah,
our Elohim is what? One. Israel, that's Israel's testimony. So Israel, they should have known who it was. Okay. John is announcing the arrival of the Elohim of Israel. And the Elohim of Israel, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 43. Because are we supposed to use scripture to break scripture?
Say it again.
Right. But make it not make sense. Did the scriptures line up, in other words?
Yes.
Okay.
We're supposed to make
all right. Let's go to Isaiah 43 and 10. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Now he's talking to Israel here. You are my witnesses, saith Yah, saith Yahuwah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim what? After us. Is he acknowledging anything else as Elohim?
No, he's not.
So we have to ask ourselves a question. If this is Messiah talking, because a lot of people teach that this is Messiah talking, okay? And I'm just what-ifing it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If this is Messiah talking, he said there was no Elohim form before him, right? Neither would there be what? Then what is the Father? If Messiah is the Son of Elohim, then the Most High has to be a God also, right? He can't come from something that he's not. So if this is Messiah talking, he said, there ain't no God form before me, there won't be one after me. If this is the Father talking, and he said he don't know a Father. And if it's the Father talking, the Father says there was no God form before him and neither will there be after him. That means technically, could he have a son? And his son be God? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
I would say no.
Okay, he can't. Formed another God, right?
Right.
I am Yah, verse 11, and beside me there is no what? Okay. Let's get this, because I, don't want anybody to, don't want there to be any doubts about this. Hold on. I'm going to stay in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, let's get verse 6. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his Israel's Redeemer, Yah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is what?
No Elohim.
Besides me, there is no Elohim. So wait a minute. If Messiah existed with him as the son of Elohim, if the Most High is Elohim, a God, would his son also have to be a God?
Yeah.
But he says, did he say us, besides us, there is no Elohim?
No, he
said
me.
Me. Yahuwah, there is no Elohim beside me. I don't know any other. Let's get that verse. Drop down. Let's read verses 7 and 8. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them, be not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time? And I have declared it. You are even my witnesses. I told you we are his witnesses. What are we his witnesses of? Is there a God, an Elohim beside me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. If he don't know no other Elohim, can you?
No.
Nope. You knowing something he don't know, right? So John is announcing his arrival, and he's making sure through Isaiah that we know that there's only one Elohim. There is no other. Let's get one more verse, and we'll go back. So let's go to Isaiah 45. And we're just going to get verse 6. So I want to get one more verse after this because it wasn't the verse I was going to go to, but it came up first. Isaiah 45 and 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun, remember we are his witness, and from the west, none beside who?
Me.
I am Yah, and there is none else. There ain't no one else but me. I'm doing it all. Okay, so when we get to John, and John is supposed to be announcing the arrival of Elohim. Israel, behold your Elohim, behold your king. He's here. And he's here to do a work that you couldn't do for yourself. So I wanted to get one more. So to drop down to verse 21. Isaiah 45, verse 21. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Tell ye and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, Yah? There is no Elohim beside me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There is none beside me. I'm doing it all. Okay? So when people look at Messiah, The Most High did not want them to understand. That's why he used it in the form of son. The only way that you can actually really understand this is that the Most High has to reveal it to you.
Yeah.
If he don't reveal it, it ain't going to make sense to you. Won't make sense. Okay, so John is supposed to be announcing the arrival of Elohim. Because they were supposed to identify John as the messenger by his phrase, the voice of one crying in the what? Wilderness? Prepare ye the way of Yahuwah. Go up to the top of the mountains and shout to Jerusalem, behold your Elohim. He's here, the one you've been waiting on. He's here. So Messiah is not just a mere man. Even though the Most High tied his hands behind his back when he came. So I'm not coming in my full God power. I'm not going to use my full God power to do what I need to do here. Let's go to one more place. And go to Hebrews chapter 1. Because what is Israel's witness supposed to be? There's only one Elohim. There's only one God. You are my witnesses. There is no God beside me. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O who? Is it thy throne, O God?
Yeah.
He do who? The Son?
Right.
But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is thy kingdom. Now, the Most High is saying this to Messiah. So Messiah is really him what? Where? In the flesh?
In the flesh.
My throne is forever. So his throne is forever. The Most High was doing a work. And he came to forgive sin. And he said that if you don't forgive your sin, forgive your fellow man their sin, I won't forgive you your sin. I will put them back on you. Now, we read that in the New Testament like it's what, two beings? The Father and the Son? Is that not the way the scripture is written? But in the book is telling us who came. And he didn't come for the purpose or in the like mind of the Most High. This is the Most High. So let's look at one more verse. And then we will, what time is it? Got 13 minutes? Let's see. Victory. Not wording it the right way. No, that's not the right way. Let me remember how this is quoted. I think it's far I want to go. Even though I don't think that's it, I think it is in Acts chapter 28. Just a second, that's not where I want to go. I wanted to say specifically what I'm looking for. It's bad when you start getting old.
No, it's just so inconvenient.
It's just an inconvenience?
It's so inconvenient.
All right, amen. I'm glad you could warn me. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. When you have it, say amen.
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 Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which he has purchased with his what?
With his own blood.
When did Elohim have blood?
When he came to be the Messiah.
Amen. All right, so we know who we're dealing with. We know who we're dealing with in John chapter 1. We know that we're dealing with the Most High in the flesh. That's why when all the verses, like when I think it was either Peter or Philip asked, they show us the Father, mm-hmm. and it will suffice us. What did Messiah say? I've been with you this long, you don't know who you're dealing with?
Right.
So then how are you going to say show us the Father? See, a lot of people think that that's, you know, because he's, what, acting, they want to stay in the likeness of. But other scriptures tell us who came. Other scriptures tell us. So we got to know that Messiah is revealing things. And when he says, hey, about forgiveness, he's speaking with authority because he's the one that wrote it. He's the one that gave the law. He's the one that gave the actual, what, penalties for the law. So people want to say, oh, you know, that was Moses. That's the law of Moses. Moses never said nothing but one thing. Paid for that dearly.
Right.
He only said one thing that he wasn't supposed to say. And that cost him being able to go into, what, the promised land?
Right.
Everything else Moses said was directly quoting the Most High. So, you know, they want to make the law of Moses like Moses made up that law.
Right.
Moses ain't make up nothing.
Nope.
Okay. So now let's go back to the lesson. Now, when it says Jesus the Lord or the Lord Jesus, that Lord there really should be the name of the Most High. Everybody understand that? That's what my whole point here.
Yeah.
John is announcing the arrival of the Most High, Yahuwah. His name in the flesh is Yehoshua. Okay? Being interpreted what? Yah is our salvation.
Say it again, Brother Miles.
Yehoshua. Yahuwah, Yehoshua. Like Joshua. Yah is our salvation. Or you say Yahuwah is our what? Salvation? The Most High is our salvation. So when we were in John chapter 1, it says he was in the world and the world was made by him, but the world did what?
Not know.
They knew him not. They didn't know who they were dealing with. They didn't know they were dealing with the Most High. Oh, I know. That's what I wanted to get. Because there's doctrine out there that says that the Most High created the world through Messiah or by Messiah. So that's just something that people, like the Most High had that written that way because, again, did he said everybody would understand?
No.
And was his intent, was it his intent that everybody understand?
No.
So we don't have to be thinking. What did he say? It's not given to them to what?
Understand.
Right. So, blessed are you if you can understand it. Let's see. Good grief, I talked too much. Talked and forgot what I was looking up. Good grief. All right. Must be meant that I wasn't supposed to show it. Oh, I know what it was. Because we need to know who we're dealing with. Go to Isaiah 44 and 24. Isaiah 44 and 24. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right. Thus saith Yah, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am Yah that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens how?
Alone.
That spreadeth abroad the earth with who?
By myself.
By myself. There wasn't nobody here helping me. I did it alone. And by myself. I didn't do it through somebody. I didn't do it by somebody. Did he say that?
Nope.
But when he says he did it by Christ or through Messiah with mankind, he created the heavens and the earth for us to live in. He created the earth for us to inhabit. Messiah is him what? In the flesh? He wanted to extend the kingdom of heaven into the physical realm. That's what this whole earth is about. Let me expand my kingdom into the physical realm, and he expects us to establish it. All right, so we know, we can see that by the scripture. He did it, what, alone and by himself. Okay, he didn't have no help. He said, I don't know another God, and there ain't one besides me. And I did all this stuff alone. I make all things and stretch forth the heavens. What? Alone. They didn't have no help. Did the angels help him?
Nope.
That spread abroad the earth by myself. We just need to believe what we read.
Yeah.
All we got to do is just believe it. And know that in the New Testament, he has stuff written. He's spoken parables. Because he didn't want Israel and the masses to understand. Not Brother Miles' words, his words. All right, back to Philippians chapter 2. Now, we're going to use the name that they have in the scripture. We understand that Yeshua is who? Yah. Yahuwah in the flesh. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Yahuwah, every knee should bow. You know what? Hold on. I told a small one. I didn't. This just came back to my remembrance. So, learn how to spell my own. Go to Isaiah 45. Name, everybody's supposed to be bowing at. Okay? Isaiah 45:23. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
I, who's talking in Isaiah 45 and 23? Is that Isaiah or is it the Most High? Okay, the Most High speaks, okay. Sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth. This is the Most High talking. In righteousness. And shall not return. That unto who?
Me.
Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall swear or confess. Is that not what we just read about Messiah? Go back to Philippians chapter 2, talking in Isaiah. Philippians, we're going to quote that. Philippians chapter 2, we're probably in verse 10. That at the name of, I told you this name here should be Yahuwah or Yah. But they wrote it as what, Jesus? That the name of Yahuwah, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of the things in heaven and the things in the earth and the things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue shall what?
Yeah.
That Yeshua, that Jesus Christ is Yah. Because they changed his name into a what, title? But in Torah, in the prophets, it was his name. That he is Yah, to the glory of the Elohim, to the glory of Elohim the Father. He came and did all this. So understand that the prophecy, the Most High said, I don't know any other God. There ain't no God beside me. I did everything alone and by myself. And I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. So this can't what? If his word will not return void, it can't what? Be changed?
Right.
That unto me, Yahuwah, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, shall confess. Now we hear the same thing in Philippians being referenced to who? Messiah. At the name of Jesus, the same verse, okay? But, as I said, when they brought it over into the New Testament, because they, well, what they did, the Most High to reveal that who Messiah is. Every tongue, when he's in the flesh, every tongue's going to what? Confess to him? You really are Elohim. Everybody's going to confess that. Some just think he's just a man. Literally, the son of Elohim. That's what the Most High said. That's how we will know him. That's how I want you to know him. That's what I want you to call me in the flesh. The son of Elohim. But it's really me. Let this mind be in you. Stop right here. That was actually the last verse. Let the mind of Messiah be in you. Who being in the form of Elohim. Is Elohim a spirit? Yes, no, maybe so. Elohim is a spirit, right? Was Messiah a spirit? Messiah was flesh and blood, right? Elohim. But he's in a different form. What they call a theophany. Being in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal. With who? With Elohim. This body, you're going to know it as the Son. Elohim is a what? Spirit. But the spirit that was in Messiah was the Most High himself. So let's get one verse and we'll call it a night. But we're after eight. And I apologize. Then I want to run over. We'll get this one verse and call it a night. I think it's John 3:16. I believe it's John 3:16.
When I say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.
No, that's not it.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Then, I hope I'm not looking at a specific book. What's doing that to me? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll get verse 19. When you have it, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, who was in Christ? Elohim was in Christ. Doing what? Reconciling what? Unto himself, right? So, to wit, as Sister Mary said, the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. To wit, Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. To wit, Yahuwah was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins, their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of what? Reconciliation. He wants to reconcile. Let's make up. I'm going to wipe away your sin. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forget your sin. And you can come to me like a new creature as though you have done nothing. You can clear your conscience. I'm going to let you come to me with a clear conscience. Okay. But it was Elohim in Messiah reconciling himself unto the world. With that being said, forgive your brothers and your sisters. Forgive though anybody that has trespassed against you. Or your Heavenly Father will what? Not forgive you. Remember to fear Yah and keep the commandments. That will keep you safe always. With that being said, may the Most High, we will meet on Thursday for the business meeting. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. And I love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Enjoy the rest of your evening. For those of you who are on the East Coast, I apologize. To you. Peace and blessings. Shalom.
I never never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Have a blessed rest of your evening. Sister Mary, Sister Denise, Brother Gary. I thank everybody else who hung up. Peace and blessings to you all.